I know you
that
can't
up.
Hear anything. You don't need to hear anything.
I like hearing things.
You can hear my voice.
I like your voice.
That is the eponymous tone of my favorite city council person.
That's so nice of you.
I mean, really, my options are limited, right?
I mean, there's 12 of us.
So you had a 1 in 12 chance.
Indeed.
But before that, you were my friend, so, and I like that. We've built a good relationship over the years. We were a long way from me struggling with your last name.
Yeah.
Nick Comives is here, everybody.
Hi.
The also underemployed, semi-retired.
Yeah.
This is the newly single podcast. We should just...
Oh, no.
We've got... We're trying not to mention
this. I mean, you can mention it. Whatever. It's true.
It is what it is. Yeah, we're both underemployed, or as I like to call, semi-retired.
I like to call myself a volunteer for the city, basically, because I get, like, actually, one of the other council members, I suppose maybe I shouldn't say her name, but every time we get paid, she always goes, hey, did you see we got our welfare check in the mail?
Oh, because it's such a pittance?
It's a pittance! I get $27,500 a year.
You're doing a lot more, obviously, you have a lot more responsibility, but I'll say this.
Yeah.
If you know what the threshold is, I'm on Medicaid.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, I could qualify, except that I do. I get primo benefits.
Okay.
You know, that government benefit.
Right.
Situation is pretty great. No complaints.
Maybe you'll have to ask if, do you have any, do you have a good relationship with any of the older brethren in the city council or anybody in the city who's been there a long time?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You'll have to talk to them. Like, my dad worked for the city of Philadelphia in the Juvenile Justice Department for a long, long time. He's one of the directors. They didn't manage the kids specifically. But he's been retired 20-some years now, and he has a ridiculous... They're paying him, like, $80,000 a year. And so it's the city of Philadelphia. Like many cities, like up in Detroit, they didn't know if they were going to be able to pay the pensions. There's been rumor of, like, they might have to buy him out early. But... Do any of the old guard in the city talk about, like, the way it used to be with benefits and pensions and all that?
We get into it a little bit when we debate some union contracts, you know, and we talk about the concessions that we have to make now and how, they're just not as robust as they once were.
No, and that's why, and it's such a larger topic, and we're not going to talk a lot of politics here.
That's good. I mean,
we're not.
In my opinion, everything is political, but okay.
Of course, yes, it is. Like when we talk about getting our roads fixed, which we'll talk about during the course of this time here. Thanks for finding the podcast, by the way. Like when people complain about like construction or the roads or stuff like that, like it all comes back to these cities, like most cities like Detroit, Toledo, Dayton, Columbus. Columbus is rather built up now. They did a good job with their infrastructure. But a lot of these cities are like 150 years old.
Yeah. We have pipes in the ground that deliver our water that are over 100 years old.
Yeah. And the budget isn't what it was then or 50 years ago. So that's why our taxes go up. If you we don't have the benefit of places like in the southwest part of the country, which isn't as developed or developed as long as the Mid-Atlantic and the Midwest and the Northeast. Like, stuff is older here, and if you want to live here, we have to pay for it.
Yeah. And let's be real, like, our taxes aren't going up. In fact, like, the majority of all of our taxes have been going down for the last 20, 30 years, frankly. And what happens then? And then you add on top of that, we used to receive a lot of money from the state in what they call the municipal local government funding, and that was what we paid for our roads and our... sewer lines and other things, you know, we paid out of that fund, and that has been significantly cut. And I mean, am I allowed to be political? Has mostly gone for tax breaks to wealthy corporations and people that are doing fracking out east in Ohio or some of these other things, or like how they raided our public education fund to funnel money to charter schools that we now know completely lied about how many attending students they had, you know? So the city of Toledo lost over $18 million in education funds to TPS because that money went to ECOT, which was the Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow, which is a really lovely name. But it was an all online, K-12 online. Can you imagine taking your kindergarten classes online as a kindergartner? It seems a little bit asinine.
Right.
But it was a thing that happened. And if you look at the owners of ECOT, they were all massive contributors to many Republicans that are in office at the statewide level. And... you know, they were able to get a lot of things done. And we now know that most of those things were pretty terrible in terms of the way that those cuts impacted our local government. So it's an interesting thing what's happening. I think that you know, I'll take out the word Republican there, and I will just say that in general, in my opinion, and what I'm finding coming in as new, and I'm not shy about the fact that I'm a Democrat and I'm pretty far left, but regardless, I can look at policies from anybody in the past and just say, wow, this is all ridiculed, right. And or, you know, it's just all bogged down and just it's like I hate the onion kind of metaphor here of peeling back the onion, but it's so true. It's right. Like every time I turn, I'm just finding something else that I'm like, wow, this needs to be cleaned up. It's right. It's almost overwhelming how much garbage there is.
It is a sludge.
It is.
This is why we all get bogged down in superficial debates over big issues.
Yeah.
And there's so many layers, not to use that analogy, but it's so true. And that's why it seems like nothing ever gets done.
It's so slow, too. It's just so incredibly slow.
So you've done this for a year. It's been a year, right?
No.
About 10
months? It feels
months?
Like 10 years. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I love my to be clear, I love the role that I'm in. I'm going to probably highlight and illuminate some things that are potentially, I don't know. I mean, I just kind of did, right? Like giving it away a little bit. But what I mean is that it's a challenge. It's a real challenge to be in city government.
Makes you feel any better. I don't see any gray hairs. You don't look like you've aged at all.
I have a lot on my, look at my sideburns.
No more than I usually see you with.
That's true. I don't feel like I've gained that many over the course of these 9 months that I've been.
I wanted to ask you this maybe later on. And the big thing we'll talk about here is heroin. And something we talked about in a podcast the other day with my friend Katie about safe injection sites?
Safe injection facilities.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to someone having done this for 9 months now, been elected like 10, 11 months ago?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone or anything you look back and maybe what you might have done differently, even though you've got elected, to getting into local politics? Because as most people will boil it down to, it's a good place to start.
Yeah. I mean, it's the launch pad for anybody that's in higher office, certainly. They likely started out at my level, at the city level, or, you know, even school board or something like that. My advice would be, you know, literally everybody tells me to slow down or not move so fast or, you know, just kind of watch things and see how it works. And I'm not a fan of that.
Right.
So I've never been a fan of that. So I think that change just needs to occur. And sometimes you just have to try things. So I think people need to be brave, and I think they need to go. They just need to go, and they need to push, because if we just sit back, then everything continues to be the same. And most of the time what I hear when I propose something new is, oh, we've already tried that before. That's not going to work. You know, I get shot down at almost every level of what I'm doing. You know, sometimes it's because, oh, you're young and you're naive and you just don't know yet. So I get a lot of that. But I would just say, you just have to go for it, right? Like, in my opinion, I think that people elected me because I represented change, right? It's rare for a new person to get involved and to have won. And because of that, I feel especially that it's my job to push and really try very hard to make a change.
What's a typical city council meeting like? You're like, you don't have to get real granular with it, but
yeah, no, I mean, so we meet as a whole once per week, a minimum, sometimes more. It just depends on what committees are up.
Right.
But we meet every other Tuesday at 2 p.m. to do what we call agenda review.
And that's review?
Agenda.
Agenda review.
I need to enunciate more. I understand that. Yeah.
Nick, you're a guy.
And I often
Larry,
talk about gender.
Well, Cecilia, actually, woman.
Right. So I go by council member, and a lot of people are like, why do you do that? And it's because I chose to not gender my position, because a woman or a man or anywhere in between could do what I'm doing, right? Gender doesn't apply to how we do our jobs, right? Let me just throw that in real fast.
But in agenda review.
But in agenda review,
okay,
all of the pieces of legislation that the administration is bringing forth or other council members are bringing forth is debated at that meeting. That's really like the meat of everything, right? That's when the administration comes before us and we get to ask them all the hard questions that we like to
just
ask.
Like Wade and stuff?
Not necessarily Wade, but like directors, commissioners, people at the top of their departments.
Gotcha.
You know, they come in and they defend why they need this piece of legislation. A lot of, to be honest, the majority of what we do at the city level is just making sure that the city government functions at its basic level, right? So like we know, for instance, that in order for our water plant to continue being as successful as it is, we have to buy like $1 million in spent lime and then run it through our lines, and that's how we clean our pipes, right?
Okay.
We have to do that every year. It's a fee that comes every single year, so we don't really debate it very much, right? Because it's a necessary function.
Right.
But it's when we like bring forward something that could potentially be controversial, like lead, that we spend a lot more time debating on things. So on the opposite Tuesdays, we meet at 4 p.m., and that's what we call a business meeting. And essentially, it's like the pomp and circumstance kind of stuff at the beginning. The pledge, national anthem, some type of invocation. It's a very honorary type thing. And then we usually honor somebody or a community organization or a group of some kind with some type of resolution. And then we go into the actual business. We don't debate anything in those meetings. We literally, the clerk of council reads the title of the legislation, mm-hmm. and then we go right to vote.
Got it.
Suspension, emergency, passage, and we all vote.
Thrilling.
It's you should really come sit through a business meeting. I'm telling you, they're riveting. And by that, I mean they're not.
They're not.
They're not. But by design, and you know, the reason we do agenda review in the beginning or the week before is to have that robust discussion at that point, and then it gives people potentially a week, sometimes more, it depends. Most things that we do by emergency, which I'm not necessarily a fan of. We don't have to go into all the dynamics of this, but the other side of it is sometimes we'll do it first reading. So that means that at the actual business meeting, they just read it and then we just go back. So sometimes it'll get kicked to a committee at that point, or, it'll just continue to move forward. And so after its second reading, so you know, now we're talking four meetings of a whole, that's when we actually vote on that piece.
Have you, and I don't think so, but maybe I'm wrong. Has there been you mentioned emergency. Has there been an oh shit meeting yet?
I think...
did anything happen with the police shooting?
That had an... Can I cut? Am I allowed to cut? I can cuss, right?
Great thing about podcasts.
Yes!
No commercials.
That would be, I think, maybe the only oh shit meeting that I've really had to attend. We've had some, what I would consider... I like to call things garbage fires or dumpster fires.
Right.
Like, things pop up and everybody, that's what everybody's paying attention to, because like one person on social media was complaining about something, so the end of the world has arrived.
Right.
So we do those sometimes, but yeah, I would say the police shooting was the only, we all came together with various other community leaders and police representatives from the police department and everything, and we all came together that very evening to say, how are we going to move forward and how do we address this?
I thought the city and the police handled it with aplomb.
Yeah, I mean, I was appreciative of the release of the video. That's something that we don't see across the country.
Not that quickly. Usually it's Monday morning.
Right. I did feel like there were some judgment calls made that were a little premature, in my opinion, because I think everything deserves to be looked at. I mean, we're talking about a human being's life. So regardless of what that person did to arrive at that moment, I think that everybody, no matter what... I mean, right? Because, like, what I was... I'm trying to think. I listened to a podcast recently where this woman was talking, and her husband is a police officer, and she was on there with him, but she's also like a very much Black Lives Matter activist. And so he was like, well, you don't see everything. You don't see how it is every day on the streets. And you know, if that person's resisting arrest. And so she was like, well, what if I was resisting arrest? You know, like what if I had a justifiable reason, you know? So I think it's all very much in the air. And I think that I do agree that, you know, we have to look at everything on its individual level, but I also think that we can also identify systemic issues that exist and persist in our community, and we can address those as well. So,
the big reason I wanted to grab you is because a surprising editorial popped up in The Blade last week, and I texted you, and you had just seen it, because about a week prior to that, you were explaining to me something that you found really innovative: safe injection sites. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, so I'm sure that everybody is aware that we have an opioid epidemic ravaging the world, quite frankly.
Yep.
It's especially a huge problem in our own backyard. The 43605 zip code, which is essentially the east side, I believe is number one per capita in terms of overdoses in the entire country. So that's very significant. And Toledo is just at the top of the list in general.
We were, not to interrupt, Katie and I were talking the other night how this is fascinating, and I don't remember the last time there was a drug, maybe like when we were young in the 80s, like a crack cocaine epidemic, but this doesn't discriminate because of how it often starts. It's white people, it's Black people, it's men, it's women,
yeah.
It's everyone. It is truly a plague.
It is, and I'm very much sympathetic to those folks who say, you know, well, nobody came to the aid of African Americans when the war on drugs originally began, and I hear it. You can see it. There's evidence out there, right? And we did a really poor job of that at the time. But I don't think it's a reason that we shouldn't work actively right now or prevent things from happening out of spite. I understand why people do that sometimes. But I think that we would be doing a disservice to everybody in the future if we don't all come together and just work on it now. So,
you came across a good idea for this.
I did. Yeah. Well, at least what I think is, and
I agree with you.
Well, thank you. And that's one person. Actually I've had a lot of people. So I recently went to, NOS, which is our needle. Oh God.
It's a rapper.
It's something.
Nas.
Yeah. No. He's not passing out clean needles that I know of. He might be. He might be. Yes. Maybe that's like his promotional campaign. Yes. Buy my CD, get a free needle. I don't know. That. Please don't sue me if that's suable.
Was it but, somebody, never mind, go ahead.
But essentially, so I visited our needle exchange program not that long ago. It's funded through our county. We have a joint Toledo County health department. And it's also funded through the Ryan White program out of the University of Toledo. But we have a needle exchange program. I believe that they promote drug use. But really what the goal and intent of that is to get people that are addicted to drugs that are probably doing administering them to themselves unsafely.
Yeah.
An opportunity to get a clean, they're going to use. So yeah. They might as well use a clean needle instead of sharing it. That's how you spread disease, right?
Katie was talking about the other night. She said she's very lucky she didn't get Hep C because of all the needle sharing.
Yeah.
And so you have an opioid epidemic and then you have a Hep epidemic because of all the sharing of dirty needles.
100%. And then who ends up paying for that in the long run anyways? It's
all
the
of
rest
us.
Of us. We
yeah.
all do, because the majority of people that are addicted to opioids don't have insurance.
Yeah.
And we know that. Or they're on government assistant insurance, so we're paying for it then anyway. So the more that we can do to prevent health crises in a population, we should do regardless, right? So that's my viewpoint. But anyways, I approached the needle exchange because I wanted to talk with them about this idea of a safe injection facility, a SIF, in Philadelphia. Actually, you're from,
is it there?
They're working on it. They don't have one yet. They're working on it, but they call it Q's.
Very progressive city. They were they followed New York with the soda tax,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, the mayor was belligerent about it. Like belligerent about
yeah.
it. So they've tried to take up some progressive ways.
I mean, we've all seen the Parks and Rec episode. So
not me.
No?
No. And I haven't ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh man.
Sorry.
All right, well,
I'm not on that pop culture.
I mean,
stuff.
I'm not really a It's Always Sunny. I think it's funny kind of thing. But I really love Parks and Rec and I feel like that's my life, so I rewatch it every once in a while.
So
but anyways, so I discovered this concept of a safe injection facility. And if we all think that needle exchanges are gonna get some pushback, I'm sure this will. But the outcomes are just too great and they show just the positive impact on the community by having these. Essentially, this is what it is. It is a place where people who are addicted to drugs and they're using heroin 3, 4, 5 times a day, maybe more in some cases, can come to a location and they can administer their drugs to themselves.
They have to bring their own, right?
They have to bring their own. They can't buy it from anybody. You can't exchange it with people. You can't any of that. There's no exchange happening, right? They just have it on them already and then they come to this place. They can get a clean needle. They can inject it. They're in a facility that has medical professionals, right? Because here's one of the biggest ways that our budget as a city is impacted. People overdosing, we get calls for those constantly within the city, and we send out 2 fire trucks and a paramedic unit out to a location, right? And we do these things all the time. And in some cases, we're doing it for people that have overdosed multiple times, right?
Yep.
And that costs a lot of money. So if we can have a place where people can come and administer this, and then let's say they need Narcan, then they can get Narcan administered to them immediately while they're present. You know, we can be saving more lives this way.
Instead of you passing out or overdosing
right.
in the middle of the street.
In an alleyway and somebody finds you 2 hours later, you're done.
Come to
you're
us.
You're gone. Go there and use and do your thing, right? Like, people are using, whether or not we want to admit it, it's kind of like, I always think about this when it comes to the gay rights movement, right? Remember when marriage was being debated, people were like, oh my gosh, if we legalize marriage, then we're going to be telling our children that they can be gay. First of all, they can be, and they may be, so just get over it. But second of all, like, having gay marriage isn't going to make a straight person go,
right.
Wow, you know what I want to do? I want to go get one of them gay marriages. You know, that's not a thing. That's just not a thing.
Do you know what's a neat little analogy for me? And it's local to the TARDA thing that's going to start, where it's going to take kids from UT to Tin Can, which apparently has a shit ton of fights downtown. Not surprised. The chief laughed at a warehouse district meeting last week, and so did everybody else. I'm stunned, because I always say, we're too old to be in there. But there's a TARDA bus, not any kind of like yellow bus, TARDA bus, taking kids from UT to Tin Can, other places downtown, and uptown, and taking them home. Guess what? They're going to drink anyway.
Right.
So at least this way they're all... And you know what? The only thing I think about is maybe there are some TARDA bus drivers who don't want to deal with some shithead drunk kids. That could be the worst thing. But at least they're not driving.
Right.
They're not, you know, Ubering and causing all kinds of crazy stories. They're going to drink anyway.
Right.
So they're doing it safely. And this is another level of that.
Indeed. I agree. And here's the other thing, too, that we all should recognize, is that people that go to these SIFs, these safe injection sites, they have a successful rate in Vancouver, where they have one, for instance, of over 35% of people that come to this facility end up in treatment of some kind.
Look at that.
Because they're not just administering it to themselves in an alleyway. There's somebody there that's greeting them and being like, hey, you can go use that booth over there. You know, we're here to help you if you need it, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then they can also have a conversation with them. Are you eating enough? Are you working right now? Do you have access to healthcare? Right. So we're meeting all of the needs that maybe got somebody in this situation anyways. And maybe they feel like they're in a hole and they can't get out of it. Right. It's very daunting for somebody. To imagine, my whole life has sort of fallen apart as a result of this, and I don't know how do I do it on my own? How do I navigate this system to fix it? Now we have people in place that can say to you, you know, hey, while you're here, have you thought about treatment? Can we at least introduce you to somebody who's going to, and maybe it'll take 3, 4, 5 times of that happening before that person's going to say, you know what, I'll give it a try. But at least more people are seeking treatment as a result of these facilities.
And if it's just one person, like, these people who are out on the streets and whoever their friends may be, they're probably more selfish than worried about the people that they socialize with doing these things. Like, if this person can recognize that someone gives a shit about their life for just a fraction of a moment, then maybe that opens up their eyes a little bit and go, they're offering me something, and maybe they're willing to listen. Or Katie and I were using the example the other night of, you know what, if you want to come in here and do this, you're more than welcome to, but you got to answer a couple of questions and you got to take this pamphlet.
Right.
And you're not going to get that out in the streets.
No.
And if it can help one person who can read it and go, These people really want to help me and I don't have to worry about money for the time being, you know what, let me see what they can do for me.
Right. And I don't think it's not that I don't think. I mean, we know this touches everybody's lives, right? Yeah. I mean, it's so impactful. All of us have some type of experience. I do. My mother for a long time was addicted to pain medication, right? And that's how it starts.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, she was addicted to pain meds and an alcoholic all through high school for me. So for me, it's very personal, right? Like, I want people to have access to resources. That it's to me, a lot of what helps people is just access, finding those avenues that will help them.
And it's not the kind of thing where it's a gateway to even more usage, because the people there will be trying to deter that.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes it, you know how we all have those days where it's either us and we just want to be heard, or we have a friend who had a shitty day and we just listen to them and they feel better.
Mm-hmm.
People go in here, they see that someone cares about them and wants to help them get better. Because I would guess that most of these people who are in these situations, if they could snap their fingers and get off this stuff, they probably would. And now there's potentially a conduit, which is going to be a hard road.
Yeah.
But we could wean you off this stuff.
Yeah.
Let us help you.
I mean, I heard from a person, I was either watching this on, I forget, YouTube or something, but this guy was talking about his experience before he was sober, and he said that literally he was homeless while, and also using. He said that for around, I think it was like close to 6 years, not a single person referred to him by his name.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I can't imagine. Like, I like it when somebody says, hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
You know, I mean, it makes you feel better, and right?
Might have gone so far where this person might have forgotten their name.
Yeah. I mean,
what are the chances something like this happens here, Mr. Councilman?
Whew. So Seattle,
push that rock up
there. I know, right? Seattle, 2 years ago, and 2 years ago in their budget budgeted enough money to open one of these facilities, and they passed it unanimously. It was totally fine. Everything was great. Then, of course, a concerned citizen group popped up and said, you know, you're going to, our children are going to use drugs now because you're signaling to them that it's okay to use drugs. And I want to push back on that so hard because it speaks to so many things, right? Like, I get really tired of this type of argument because I like to live in realities, right? The reality is that there are, outside of the four walls that you and I are currently sitting in, there are a lot of people using drugs right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to use drugs whether or not the city gives them a place to use them or not. And frankly, I'd rather have people using them in a place where we can make sure that they're going to be healthy if something bad happens, because, you know, maybe there are people out there that are listening right now that are like, well, who cares? They're choosing to do that. They deserve it. They deserve what's coming to them.
I don't
think that people do deserve it, right? And I think that it's my duty as a human being to take care of other human beings.
And it's not going to encourage people to do it. It will try to help people who are in these throes of addiction to get them off of it.
Right.
Like, you're not just going to go, hey, you know what? There's a place I can go do drugs. Look, you could open up 15 strip clubs with the exact type of woman that I would like to see and whatever. It doesn't mean I'm going to go to them.
You're not going to walk past this place and be like, man,
I feel like having some heroin today.
Right.
Nick, you want to hop in here?
Right. Let me just find the nearest person that will give me. So anyways.
It's there to help people who are in these situations, not encourage those who aren't doing it to do it.
Right. So I'm hoping that we don't end up like a Seattle situation where, like, if I get some traction on this, if I get some movement, that some group pops up. Of course I'm going to, and it's fine. I mean, I'm trying to be prepared. I'm trying to educate people now on the benefits of these types of facilities, right? So Philadelphia, as I mentioned, is the other place. There's a small town in New Hampshire that attempted this, because the Northeast is just riddled with this epidemic as well. And so they took a very proactive approach. The problem right now is that our federal government, the Attorney General's office, through them, has hired a lot of people that very much want to take us back to the war on drugs mentality and focus on that, right? They're going after even just as low as marijuana at the moment, right? And
for those that don't know or need a synopsis, we lost that one. The war on drugs.
Yeah.
Badly.
I don't think we even...
It's flushing money away. Remember the... you saw The Dark Knight?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when the Joker lights the money on fire? That's the war on drugs.
Well, that and incarcerating in mass African-American males.
Yep.
For the most part. Right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And nobody is going to tell me that Jeff Sessions isn't still a bigoted KKK member, because he just is. So, well, maybe he's not a KKK member.
Way down the systemic rabbit hole at this point.
Am I? Well, fine. But it's his cronies in that department that are trying to block things like this from popping up. And why? Right? Because let's not try anything new. Let's stick to what we've been doing, because that's clearly been so successful. Right?
I have a suggestion, potentially.
Yeah.
This is obviously here where you live. Do you have a district? Or you?
I don't.
Large?
I'm at large. So all of the Toledoans.
I wonder, because like this is not like Trump versus not Trump, because we talked about how this doesn't discriminate. The same problems mm-hmm. that are happening in the darkest neighborhoods in Toledo, and I mean like crime-wise, or they're just blighted,
mm-hmm.
it's happening out in the middle of Fostoria.
Rural Ohio as well, yeah,
absolutely. Do you think if you pitch this idea out there, what kind of feedback do you think you might get?
Well, it's kind of interesting, because we have a lot of rehab facilities, housing facilities within Toledo city limits. And if you look at our suburban partners, they don't have as many of these types of facilities. Although, that's changing, I think. Maumee opened one with Team Recovery, mm-hmm. Midwest Recovery's out there. Perrysburg just opened a new facility. I think even like Springfield Township or Sylvania Township, one of the two, just opened a brand new facility that's for women only, which I think is really powerful and amazing. But we're not seeing as many of these types of places open outside of urban areas, arguably because there are more people in urban areas, and so there's more need for the service, right? Yeah, so that's important. And one of the things that you'll find as a pushback from urban municipalities often is, we're serving all the people that live out in these suburbs, and then they leave, and then, you know, like, what's the good for us? Why do we have to take care of everybody else's problem? Well, because our neighbor's our neighbor and we're supposed to love each other. So I think that's why we take care of them. But anyways, what's your original question? How did we even get here? What just happened?
I'd be curious if you went out to some of these rural places
and
were like, hi, I'm Nick Coma, city councilman of Toledo. I have this idea. I'm trying to push it through in Toledo. But you know, this is a passion point of mine, and obviously there's a heroin epidemic everywhere. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to find more progressive mentalities in urban settings generally, but not to say you don't find them elsewhere. I'm not saying that, but I think that the folks that are pulling a lot of the strings and doing a lot of controlling in rural parts of our country are likely to be very much like staunch in standing up against this. So I don't think it would be received as well. We're not seeing it in places that aren't in urban settings, and that's even in other countries, I would argue.
Yeah, so. I only bring it up again because it just doesn't discriminate.
No, for sure. I'm gonna advocate for one opening up in Toledo, I'd also advocate for one happening in Findlay and Perrysburg and Bowling Green and any other place, right? I mean, I think it's important until this goes away or dwindles to have these types of facilities. So, I mean, I'm an advocate for them opening wherever the need is. So,
safe injection sites. Do some homework on that. Let's talk about really exciting, fun stuff.
Yeah. Hit me.
Water!
Woo!
This will be like a 60-second conversation. Is our water clean? Yes, let's move on.
Yay, done. Also, to be clear, your water is clean.
Yes.
I just want to make that really clear.
Yes.
I have toured the facility. I'm super impressed by the staff within our Department of Public Utilities, the chemists that are on staff, the engineers. We have made so significant of improvements on our water facility. It's kind of disgusting. And it's all to the tune of over $500 million. So we have extremely clean water that comes out of one of the greatest freshwater resources in the entire world, which is the Great Lakes. So we should be proud of that. So I know that you're talking about regional water, right? Because everybody loves to talk about regional water.
I don't.
No?
I
don't really. I mean, I don't really love to talk about it either. Here's the funny thing about becoming a city council member is, like, when you do, you're, like, catapulted into categories that you never thought you'd care about. Like, I've been in a sewer. I stay up and watch videos about drainage and floodplains.
Oh,
I know, right? Like, I never thought I'd care about this stuff. But here's the reality. Like, these are all things that impact all of us. So I have to be as knowledgeable as I can about them. So I try to educate myself as much as possible. At any rate, that means I also got to talk about regional water, and I came in at a time which was very heated and all of those good things. The city backed away from the original proposal that came out of the Chamber of Commerce and an agreement that was built with what they called principals, but are basically the mayors and other folks from neighboring places that purchase water from the city of Toledo. But the mayor decided to walk away from it. There wasn't the support on city council, so we came up with a different proposal. Because the reality is, we have been providing clean, affordable, fresh drinking water to this region for a very long time. So we already arguably have regional water in Toledo. But there's been some mismanagement. There's been some playing around political wise with things, right? And I think one of the coolest things about our generation and younger folks is this non-reliance on those types of, like, we look at things and we're like, it's just a problem. It's an issue. How do we fix this issue, right? As opposed to, well, whatever. Anyway, so I say all that to say, we came up with a new proposal. It has many of the same elements as the original proposal had. This will create a regional water commission, which is made up of the experts in their field. So I talked about how excellent our engineers
Wait,
and other
hold
people.
On.
Sure.
This is not the elevator pitch.
Huh?
This is not the elevator.
How is it not? Is it long? Am I over 60 seconds? Are you trying to tell me to wrap it up?
No, I was just going to ask you, look, I don't care about this topic whatsoever, as long as, like, sludge doesn't come out of my faucet.
Look,
but wait, I'll ask you two questions.
All right.
Is the water clean? How much is my water bill going to go up?
All right, the water is very clean.
Perfect.
And if we create this regional water commission and the suburbs join in with us and continue to purchase from us, you will not see a significant increase in your water rates.
Perfect.
The reality is that the cost of everything always goes up, so we're never going to not see a decrease, right? Like, we're never going to go back to 25 cents per gallon or, you know, out of your faucet. But this plan will keep us at a low rate.
Good. Let's do fun stuff, like real fun stuff.
Yeah, what do you want? Let's talk about something not government.
Can you want to talk about the Domino's thing and how that came around?
That's still government, but yeah, because I love pizza.
We all do. I remember this promotion popped up over the summertime. I'm like, we're the perfect city for this. Domino's is offering to pay for people's potholes. It's like, hello, us in Toledo.
Right.
Anthony Wayne Trail.
Standing on top of all the high rises downtown and just like, please pay attention to us, Domino's.
And then I just see the story yesterday that and I don't know, like, we didn't even have to start some kind of like Twitter brigade or
it's
hashtag.
It's amazing.
They just paid for it.
Yeah. So okay, so there are three Domino's franchises in the city of Toledo. So there are three places to buy Domino's, apparently. And what happened was the larger company, Domino's, is doing this paving for pizza, or pizzas for paving, or potholes and pizza and something like that. They're not filling potholes with pizza, which would be kind of cool, maybe, if the weather was nice and...
Whatever's in there, man.
I fill
the pothole.
All right. So anyway, so they're doing this promotion all across the country. So they selected Toledo, and they offered us $5,000. And then a local franchise owner of a Domino's here, who knows, maybe that person owns all three of them, doubled the amount. So we're going to get awesome. $10,000 from Domino's to fix some potholes around the city.
Is it going to be... Or are they going to be random, or... I mean... A lot of roads are fixed up now.
It's just going to dump into the fund that fixes potholes. Yeah, yeah.
All right, good. And I, you know, hey, go eat Domino's this weekend. Patronize these places. You know, I'm Pizza Cat, Mama Mary's, but local people do work at these Domino's. They're not bussing in from Detroit to work here. But go patronize these places for helping us out.
For sure.
Because we didn't have to get that money.
We didn't have to. It was very nice of them. I'm thankful.
Let me ask you this. Last night, there were the tornadoes up in Monroe, ripped through, I think, three homes, got destroyed, really violent stuff. And people were all up the butt of the news channels for breaking into their NCIS. And I don't know if 13 did this. And when I hear that it's NCIS that was being interrupted, I'm guessing it's someone in their 50s or 60s who was complaining.
Are you telling me you weren't sitting at home watching NCIS last night?
No.
Oh.
I'm very ambivalent with this, because if... There was one time I think that there was a tornado warning for downtown. I'm like, I'll pay $100 to see a twister come through like Washington Street.
I will risk my life.
One time, and I know that it affects people out in rural areas less than the city. But if it was if there was an issue, I wouldn't be watching TV. I would be following online digitally. So where do you stand? And I don't think that they were creating any kind of alarmist issues.
I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, I feel like the majority of people watch news for the drama and for the weather. And okay. So weather probably makes them a lot of money. It probably makes sense. But also, like, let's be real. If my house was about to be destroyed by a tornado, I think I would want to know. And if I was sitting and watching NCIS and I wasn't playing this My Hospital game that I'm not getting paid to promote right now on my iPhone, then, you know, how would I know that it's coming? So I think we have a duty to warn people when their life is in peril. So maybe the lesson for our friends and media would be to do it in a more efficient way, in a quicker way, in a less intrusive way. I don't know, something. I mean,
a couple of years ago when it was a Sunday afternoon and they came in during a football game, which wasn't even like a local game. It was like a Cowboys Packers game. Like, people lost their minds.
Yeah, well, you can't interrupt people's sports.
Or NCIS. Which apparently, like, you could DVR, watch it on demand the next day.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It just strikes me as weird.
And it just feels like, I mean, people just, I don't think there's any right way to do something that's going to leave out.
Someone will complain.
Some type of complaint.
And I look at it this way, too. Like, I get it. If, let's say the viewership area for the local TV stations is 350,000 people. Sounds, how many people are Toledo? 200,000?
We have about 260-ish thousand.
All right. Maybe in the entire...
There's like 400,000-ish people in Lucas County.
Okay. So maybe like 500,000 people in the viewing area of the local TV stations. And three houses in Monroe County were destroyed. I get that those numbers are awful. But to your point of earlier, have a little fucking compassion for your neighbors.
Right. I mean,
look at those pictures, and those people's lives have been literally uprooted.
Right.
And look, it's like the same thing as when, fuck, my internet's down. You call Buckeye up.
God. There's like nothing that gets more people outraged on the Old West End Facebook page than when every night at 2 a.m. Buckeye drops the signal in the Old West End, and everybody's posting, I lost my internet. And I get it, because like, if I'm up at 2 a.m., I'm probably watching Netflix and also like playing something on my phone, and then I'm very frustrated because I'm like, well, I got to check on my hospital.
For your 32-minute inconvenience, we will credit you on your bill. The exact amount of time that you lost over the monthly bill. Here is your 77 cents back.
Right.
But I get it. Most people aren't objective. We're very selfish. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because it was a big deal last night.
I mean, yeah, okay. My heart goes out more to the people who have had their lives
uprooted.
Flipped.
Did you see the
down.
Pictures?
Oh yeah,
like, they were nasty.
Yeah,
those trees were
tornadoes are
out.
Not really great things.
What else do I want to ask you? I have some stuff here. Where's my list at? Did you want to talk about anything else? What else is on your radar for stuff? What else are you doing? Say, oh, by the way, when I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, you being underemployed, semi-retired, professional volunteer, you only do this.
Yeah.
So you're no longer doing Equality Toledo, which was your job.
Yeah, I stepped down from that role.
So what do you do? Like, what's your schedule like?
Yeah, I mean, most of my day is meetings, which I don't recommend for anyone.
Why not?
Because I get meeting to death. You know, it's like you either get PowerPointed to death or you get meeting to death, and I get meeting to death. But I get to learn a lot of cool stuff. I mean, I try to visit all of the city departments and meet all the... I mean, we have a lot of employees that are doing a lot of really incredible things throughout our city to make sure that, like, you know, the things that we take for granted happen. So I take that very seriously. I want to meet those folks. So I spend a lot of time actually out meeting people.
Cool.
Both within the city and then without, and talking with people about what their needs are and how we can find those solutions. A lot of it is spent... I do a lot of presentations and other things throughout the community. And then on the side, to make up some of the income that I have lost by taking this job, you're welcome. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm personally raising your taxes.
Thank you.
It's the Comive's tax.
Don't say that.
What's the Comive's
Somebody
tax?
Is gonna, that's going to be an
not,
attack ad for me next
not
time.
These
I'm
not these listeners, no. Not these listeners.
No, I'm also, I consult for various issue-based campaigns and political campaigns.
Not going to do Uber, right?
No. Although I thought about doing Lyft.
Or whichever the one.
I think it would be kind of fun to do that. You could meet so many cool people. But if somebody threw up in my car, there would be hell to pay.
I mean, you would really, truly be getting to know your constituents.
That this much is very true, yeah. It's a great... I mean, Rob Ludeman is also a council member, and he's a real estate agent. What a great way to get votes,
right.
You know? Like, now I could just drive people around the city.
You could
you enjoyed this ride? Don't forget to vote for me. Is that disingenuous, though? I don't know. Is that unethical?
No, I mean, it's a modern age way to get to know your constituents. And you know what? It might get you really good press, too.
It's true. It's getting me this press right now, and I haven't even done it yet.
Yeah. would you ever, like, in the near term, aspire to be mayor? Didn't you tell me you wanted to be, like, state representative or something?
Yeah, I don't... I would say as of right now, I don't really have a very large appetite to do anything administrative, right? So should we go into a civics lesson of the three branches of government?
No.
No. Okay, let's not do that. Well, anyway, so I don't really have necessarily an appetite to be mayor or something. I wouldn't turn down the opportunity if it was presented and I felt like it was the right time for me. So I'm not going to discount that as an option. I had a really fun conversation with current Mayor Kapsakavich one time where he said, you know, somebody mentioned to me, am I doing a good impression? That I'm the first Gen X mayor and probably the only one. And then they said, who do you think will be the first millennial mayor? And I told them it would be you. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. But I don't know.
First potential millennial mayor, City Councilman Nick Comives.
And first openly gay mayor of Toledo. That's kind of cool.
Best dressed.
Best dressed. Thank you.
How old is Wade? He doesn't
Wade's
look.
Wade's 40-something. 42-ish, 44,
I feel,
somewhere in there.
I feel like the generation you get labeled as is what you look like. And maybe he's just too deep into politics. Doesn't strike me as Gen X.
Well, you know, once I went to a meeting one time. I wear jeans almost every day. I just can't. I don't get paid enough to wear. I can't afford slacks. Right? Like, let's be real about that. So, yeah.
Best place to find City Councilman Co-Lives, Kohl's.
Right.
And Target.
Right. In the return line. I wear jeans a lot. But I'm appropriate, I feel like.
Right.
You know, I don't feel like I'm ever like... I mean, if I have to go to something for real, then I'll dress up. Or it's fine. But anyway, so my point... Somebody once said to me, oh, it must be nice that you get to wear jeans every day. And I was like, you are correct, sir. It really is right. Nice. Thank you for pointing that out.
You know, they relaxed even the dress code over at Owens Corning to appeal to younger people who... Most don't, like, we're not talking like ratty, holy jeans.
Yeah.
We're wearing nice jeans. And
I mean, I have black jeans on right now. You would probably look at them and think like, oh, those might be just black pants. You know what I mean? Like, they're just fine. I can, guess what? I can ask you a question about CDBG funding in jeans or in slacks.
I would like to see Wade dress down a little bit. He had to be so flippin' hot at Jeep Fest.
Oh my gosh. I know. And there's, I said to myself recently, I was like, I gotta quit like poking fun at him because he sweats a lot, but I feel like he brings it on himself because he's always wearing like suits and stuff. Here's the other thing though. He wears a full suit in the summertime, but he's gonna wear a full suit in the wintertime too, and he's not gonna wear a coat. It's amazing. I met with him once, like in December last year, like before we all got sworn in, just to be like, what are you going to focus on? What can I help with? What can I, you know, all that kind of, how can we work well together? And he shows up to meet with me and he doesn't have a winter coat on. It was like a negative 4-degree day. And I was like, where's your coat? And he's like, I don't wear one. I watched him do a press conference in the snow with no coat on. I know. We elected this man mayor. He doesn't. How can you trust someone who doesn't wear a winter coat?
I have a heavy sweat jacket and I wear that because I don't like hang outside.
Yeah.
And people would always ask me, where's your coat? Don't you have anything heavier than that? It's like, I'm not like.
Everybody's always so wrapped up on what other people are wearing, you know? Just chill out.
A couple of final things.
Yeah.
Where's Paula?
Paula is running for state representative for the Ohio 44th, and she will probably win.
What's the 44th?
It is Old West End, Junction, downtown, and some areas that are around there.
She's staying busy? Because she's been like off the grid.
She's busy. Her husband has had some health issues for a very long time and recently passed. So it was a lot. And I think she was anticipating it, but obviously there's no way that's ever an easy thing to go through. And so I think she's kind of been a little bit quiet while she's going through that process as of late. But you know, here's the thing about Paula. Like, there are few people that I have met in my life that have devoted themselves in a way that she has, and I have so much respect for her. I mean, she has literally, like, her first job out of law school was to work with juveniles, right, and make sure that kids are taken care of. Like, she's always had the community at heart and in mind, and I just have such a deep respect for her as a result of that.
How about Bill? I guess he's doing some dancing contest now, but usually I run into him. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in forever.
I haven't seen him in a while either, and I go to political functions way too often. Mostly because I have to. But also, I don't think I've seen him since like opening day.
I know. See, now that I bring it up, it's like, where's he been?
I've seen him a couple of times, I think one or two times since then, but he's laying low, you know, he's living his life. He's riding around on motorcycles and stuff.
I know. Yeah. And last thing, maybe the most divisive thing, I'd be remiss to not ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about candy corn?
Not a fan.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not really a fan of candy in general.
Okay.
So
I'm not a candy corn hater.
I love anything caramel and chocolate. I will eat the crap out of.
Is that Caramello? That old candy? There were the squares?
Oh, yeah. I mean, any of those things. So like anything caramel and then draped lusciously and chocolate just really gets me.
Okay. Next time I see a Caramello, if they still make that, I'll get you one.
Would you please?
I would.
You give and me, all these listeners, come visit me at City Hall and bring me some.
So you got to pay the Comives tax because he quit his job. You got to bring the guy candy.
Candy.
And he needs a new boyfriend too. Oh, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Sure.
I don't like somebody. It was Lexi.
Uh-huh.
She's like, so do you want a date? I was like, I'm fine, like as is. She's like, Tori's like that too. Like, Tori's just kind of over it. And I don't want to like knock where we are, but the pool is the pool is just gone.
Well, and you know, at least you get to deal with like 96% of the population. I'm
being
stuck
straight
with like 4, yeah, you know, so I've got lesser odds than you do. And here's the other thing too, is like, sorry, this stupid cough.
It's
I just
fine.
Can't shake it, jeez. Anyways, here's the other thing about it is, you know, I moved away from Toledo right when I was 18, and I know a lot of other LGBT people that did the same thing, and not as many people have come back as I did. So I would say that, like, I feel like in my age bracket of what I would consider a preferable age to date, you know, I can't be an age discriminator, other than, like,
79.
I mean, you know, you never know.
I'm going to go no on that.
Yeah,
one.
I mean, it's not preferred is my point, right? Like,
you just might
if it happens, who knows? Who knows? You never know. You never know. And then I could totally, what was that? Who was that woman? What was that woman saying that had like a reality TV show? She was awesome. The blonde. Oh my God,
Betty
help
White?
Me out. Huh?
Betty White?
No. I love Betty White, though. No, she was like, she was married to that old oil magnate, and then she had her own reality TV
show. Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith. I'd Anna Nicole Smith something.
Oh, don't.
I wouldn't. But if you're listening, I would. So, no.
There are a lot of older voters in Toledo.
There's
Nick Komeyer playing Mahjong for the votes.
I don't even know how to play Mahjong, but I'd learn.
It's an old Jewish lady thing. You'd have to be in Sylvania anyway. But
I'm not running for office out there.
I will now consider that you have a much smaller pool.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it is whatever. If someone's listening and you're interested and you find me attractive, which you might.
Don't come on this podcast trying to whore yourself out.
What? I mean, listen, you are.
I'm not doing it.
I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm sort of like you and I'm like Tori a little bit. I'm pretty cool. I've gone on a couple of dates recently. I'm enjoying myself, you know. I'm busy too. That's the other thing. It's like, it's really hard for me to commit something. And also, I'm really focused on what I'm doing. So that's just a reality of my life at the moment. And I kind of am open to the idea of finding somebody that I can spend some time with when I have some free time. But I'm not willing to like commit at the moment.
I feel like I did like 7 months in a relationship. And mm-hmm. I'm good for my life now. Like I've had my one long-term
relationship. Wait, that's your longest?
Yeah. Like that in that, like I've had some that have been like staggered,
mm-hmm.
but consistently straight through. Yeah.
See, I've been with two people for more than 4 years at a time and neither of them worked. And the second one I really thought was going to work as I was a little bit older and it lasted for a while and whatnot. And then it didn't work. I'm like, is he going to hear that? Whatever. If he does, it's fine. Well, I mean, at this point he's probably processed out what he said to me as well, but anyways, I fought really hard for marriage equality, like for 5 years.
You can be for marriage equality and against marriage.
No, I know for sure, and I wasn't like I didn't fight for marriage equality because I was like I have to get married. It wasn't one of those things, but like when it was presented to me that perhaps I could be in a marriage, I just was like, hey, it'd be really cool if we would like have at least a conversation. We've been together for like 3.5 years. Like, can we talk about marriage and what that looks like? And the answer I got was, we saw how long it took me to figure out which wood floors to get. And I was like, oh, right, I'm an object. I totally forgot. Totally forgot.
Well, in some way, we all are.
I know. It's true.
But a friend of mine had some very sage advice, because I keep trying to get her to come on the podcast. She's lived, forget where she's originally from, but she's lived, I think she's originally from the East Coast, somewhere around New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But she spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, and she wound up here because the nursing program and medical program at UT is very good.
Mm-hmm.
And she's staying here. I was like, you've got to come on the podcast, because she's mostly been single while she's here. I was like, you've got to come on the podcast and offer your perspective of someone who's trying to date here compared to what it's like in other places, in bigger cities. And she's like, no, nobody wants to hear that. I'm like, I'll make people want to hear it. Trust me. But she said to me, she's like, now that you're... like single, are you going to do the dating apps? I was like, I've considered it. She's like, don't, because the same people are on all of them. Like, that's absolutely, you're totally right.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah. I also find like, I don't think I'm anything special. Let me just start this off by saying that. But well, thank you. But I have also found that some people who didn't even want to recognize me as a human being before I was in this position are now like opening up to me a little bit more. I'm just a little bit cautious of that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know? Like,
sure.
It's a whole thing.
Thanks for hopping in.
Thanks for having me. I love coming to talk with you. Like, whether if it's just us getting coffee or like actually coming in here and having a microphone in my face.
I got to tell you, and I don't know if it's because we just know each other now, as opposed to like our first handful of meetings where you'd come in to promote something Pride.
Yeah.
And we were obviously a very like weird room. And
oh my God, it was so early. I was like, ugh.
Maybe it was that, but you are electric when it comes to speaking now.
Mm, thank you.
But maybe back then it was just early, but now we know each other better too.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of my comfortability level, but also just my comfortability level in general. Like, I have a camera in my face all the time. If I freaking go to a Blockwatch meeting, there's a good chance that somebody's Facebook living me. So I've always just got to be aware of what I'm saying and
right.
who I'm talking to.
I could never live that life.
It's not fun.
Like, and that's why I feel like I don't put myself out there a bunch, but I do try to share as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not like, hey, there's the mysterious radio guy, and you want to flip your camera. Not that anybody would ever do that, but
it's a thing. Like, you know how it is. Like, when you go into a grocery store and somebody kind of looks at you, and then they double take a look at you, and then they like look at you a little bit longer, and you're like, hi, and then they just are like, well, are you? And then you're like, Yes, I'm Nick.
But you don't get younger. You get like older people doing it, right?
Mostly, but not entirely.
The last time something like that happened to me, and I know I come off as like arrogant and conceited. Mm-hmm. It's more, I'll concede to being aloof. How about that? But I'm pretty humble and I keep to myself. But I was at the gym a couple of months ago, and some girl tweeted me. She's like, I think I just saw you at the gym. I was like, I was, and I remember who they were.
Yeah,
I didn't notice them staring at me. I'm just very observant. I was like, don't hesitate to say hi.
Yeah, I think that's the weirdest thing. Like sometimes I'll get like an Instagram, you know, somebody sliding in my DM and they're like, oh, I think I just saw you. And I'm like, well, then why don't you say hi to me? Like, right. This is super, I don't know if I want to talk to you now because you seem like a creeper.
Right.
Anyways, yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks for hanging out. We'll get coffee soon.
Please.
Maybe we can keep Philip grounded and we'll go hang out with him.
He's in Denver.
He is in Denver.
I can't wait for him to come back.
With Danny.
I know. Danny. Have you met Danny? Did you get to meet him?
When he was here the first time.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, British accent gets you.
Well up on this.
Awesome.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. Three unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.